Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on? How we doing?
Just making breakfast and starting another Monday of Ancient Aliens Marathon.
Oh, yeah.
History Channel.
Very nicely done. I can see the meme in my head of that dude with the hair. I can see it right now.
Yeah.
That's some good stuff there. We'll start with this. How excited was the Pro Bowl for you yesterday? It's Joe Rex Road's favorite event of the year.
You know, it is what it is, but it seemed to be exceptionally bad yesterday. It's one of those days where people were like, why are they even bothering to play this? And so I'm sure they'll have to address it at least a little bit. I don't know. I saw some interesting suggestions. One is have the two worst teams play instead for the first pick of the draft.
I'm for it.
And I said, heck, let's make it more valuable than that. Have the worst two teams play for relegation. The loser gets kicked out for a year.
Now we're talking.
I love relegation in American sports is overdue, right?
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest soccer person in the world. My soccer fandom goes to about my 9-year-old daughter's team. But I do love relegation and the idea of it, of you better not be the worst. Because too often in American sports, we reward being the worst.
That is true.
Seriously, because we give them the best player then. You know, the Bengals are in the Super Bowl because they were the worst 2 years ago.
It's true. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. I like it. Look,
the Bengals and the Mac this year, I would think that would be more entertaining.
I would agree.
Well, USFL's coming back.
That's true.
There you go.
Tampa Bay Bandits on board.
Come on. Little Michigan Panthers get Jeff Fisher back in the league. I'm here for it.
Sure. Absolutely. Wouldn't that be awesome if Fisher won his way back into the NFL? That'd be incredible, right?
It would be amazing. So, Corey,
like
obviously.
Ted Lasso all over.
Oh, it'd be unbelievable. The stash, too. It'd be just great stuff. So, Corey, we've talked a lot, obviously, today about Tannehill and the quarterback situation for the Titans. Mm-hmm. And reports coming out from TD over the weekend that Aaron Rodgers, quote, not an option for the Titans. John Robinson, really, at every stop in the media that he's made over the past week, has been pretty strong in his endorsement for Ryan Tannehill. What have you thought about the way that Robinson has handled talking about Tannehill to the point where it kind of seems to me like he's tired of talking about it at this point? What do you read into that, and does that in your mind ensure that they may not even look at quarterback in free agency or trade or whatever this year, and Tannehill's their guy moving forward?
Well, I have a saying that a guy is your guy until he's not, okay? And so as long as he's your guy, you can't Chris Ballard him. I mean, you can't just, you know, dump 30 tons of dirt on top of him like Chris Ballard did to Carson Wentz. So, you know, he's your guy till you're not. So you support him until he isn't. So from that aspect, I get it, and I would be doing the same thing if I were them. Now, I just don't – I know that the Rams did it, and I know that's a popular thing to say. Well, the Rams did it. The cap is the cap. It's there. You've got to pay the piper eventually. Go look at Tannehill's contract. The Titans are paying the piper this year. They're going to continue to pay the piper even when his contract is up. They've got voidable years they'll be paying for. You know, so, I mean, eventually all of this money does come due. We saw it here in 2004. It was not a lot of fun. All right? So, I mean, I'm not for throwing everything away, especially when you consider 2 years ago you could have had Tom Brady for $25 million against the cap and nothing else. Didn't cost you draft picks. Wasn't going to cost you dead cap money. It was just going to cost you about $25 million a year for the greatest quarterback ever to play. And they passed on that opportunity. And now you're talking about the possibility of taking $57 million in dead money and giving up multiple first-round picks for a 38, 39-year-old quarterback who just scored 10 points in his playoff game? I think that's – I mean, listen, I'm not oblivious to how good Aaron Rodgers has been – or was this season. As a Chicago Bears fan, he has a mortgage in my house, okay? I understand. But I also understand Father Time comes for us all, and I understand there are bills that have to be paid, and there's a cap that has to be met. And I just don't know the feasibility of dumping first-round picks and $57 million in cap space for a guy who's pushing 40. I mean, I just don't. And so I think when they signed Tannehill to this deal, they understood come hell or high water, he's our guy for the next few years because this is where we are. And, you know, I always say hope is not a strategy. You just got to hope he's better unless they want to Alex Smith it and draft somebody. That, to me, that's the only choice they've really got.
Yeah, well, and not only he's their guy, and the Julio Jones deal made it even more that he's their guy for another year, which at the time looked like a fine strategy. We've talked before about, is this going to be Tannehill's last deal with the Titans? I mean, during this year, like they may be extending him, and now here we are, everybody wants him out. Which, look, I mean, I get it. I think that it's not being too simplistic to say. That game was on him. I do want to. I want to go back, Corey, with something you said there. Now, do you believe that Tom Brady would have picked the Titans? Is that what you're saying, or are you just saying that they could have tried to get him?
They could have tried.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if he would or wouldn't have.
Because that's a Jared belief. I've never. Other than he's Vrabel's buddy, which a lot of people are Vrabel's buddy.
I have no idea if they even tried at all, or if they. He was out there.
Yeah.
He was out there. And his price tag, you know, when you look at the quarterback world, wasn't that expensive, and it didn't come with all the baggage of draft picks and cap space. I mean, that would be a lot more attractive offer on top of being the greatest quarterback of all time. That would be a much more attractive offer, and they passed on that. I mean, that's my thing. Is you passed on this. How are you going to make this leap?
So, Corey, what do you think about the Tim Kelly addition for the Titans? What does that say to you?
You know, I was thinking about this in that, you know, I know a lot of people are going to go, you know, it's going to come crashing down on Todd Downing that, you know, he's got no faith in him or whatever. I don't know that that's what it is. I know this. Vrabel is extremely loyal to people he has worked with in the past. I mean, just look at his staff. I mean, and as soon as Tim Kelly became open, I said, I'm not going to be surprised if he's on the staff. Now, you know, firing Downing was one thing, and I thought it was possible, you know, because of his loyalty to guys he's worked with. But I'm not surprised they brought him on in this capacity and that they found a capacity that worked for Tim Kelly, you know, as well. I think, you know, Vrabel is a guy who I think, you know, he's used to being in New England, you know, for a long time, where, you know, they spare no expense. They do everything up. And I think, you know, the Titans are kind of heading in that direction. When you look at, you know, the additions to their coaching staff, they didn't just add Jim Schwartz this last year. They added a kicking coach in James Wilhoit. And that seemed, I think, to make a big difference once he came on board. All their kickers got better. And, you know, you add Jim Schwartz to the defense, and, you know, how much impact did he have? I don't know, but the defense was a lot better. And I just think, you know, he's about having as many good people, good minds, and good hands on deck as he can. And so I think, you know, adding more to that offensive staff, I think was appealing to him. And, you know, I think Tim Kelly, it's obvious, is a guy who he's liked and respected for the last couple of years when you hear him talk about him. So it wasn't that surprising. And if he can add some more creativity to that passing attack where they get the ball in Julio or A.J. Brown's hands when he's crossing the field a little bit more, I think that could be a really good thing. Now, you know, we'll see what happens. It also gives you outs if you don't think Todd is working out, but there's no indication that he thinks that whatsoever because everything he said about Todd Downing has been glowing to this point.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, last thing for you here. What do you think of Zach Cunningham and the inside linebacker situation for the Titans? Obviously, at the end of last year, I mean, you had Cunningham, Brown, Evans, Long. You drafted Monty Rice last year. What do you think that the inside linebacker room looks like next year? What kind of a decision, how tough a decision is that for John Robinson in your mind?
Well, I don't think these are tough decisions at all. I mean, number one, Rashawn Evans wasn't even dressed for the playoff game.
Nope.
Which tells you what his future is with the football team, which is a shame because it's another first-round pick. And that's another perfect example of why, unless you're getting a guy who is a game-changer, you really don't take middle linebackers in the first round anymore. I mean, you just You just don't. Because, I mean, they don't – they're replaceable, okay? You pay for guys and you draft guys who hit the quarterback or take away the football. That's kind of what you do. And so, you know, he'll be gone unless Jayon wants to come in at an even more reduced salary from what he did this last year. He'll be gone. I think one of the interesting things we heard from John Robinson last week, and I don't know if it was talking to Buck or talking to Jimmy, so I apologize to whoever he told it to, was his comments that they're into Zach for the long haul when they picked him up, because that was one of the things that I thought was interesting there. They're going to have to redo his deal, because $10 million to me is too much for a run stopper against the cap. You know, he'll get his money, but they're going to have to spread it out. And I'm not against that. He's a good football player. I think he gives them options. He's long, and he's a good tackler. He's very instinctive. And I think he's an upgrade, which is what you want to do. So I think you can have him, Monty, and David, and you're set with three guys there. I've seen some mock drafts that have him drafting a middle linebacker in the first round. And I know these guys are experts. That just seems like absolute insanity to me. And like, if John Robinson did that, you would just say, John, I think we need to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't know if I could see a middle linebacker being drafted here.
It makes no sense. I mean, I know you don't just draft for need. You draft that makes no sense. That makes no sense at all. It's just like taking a pick and throwing it into Cumberland.
You get a running back first round too, if you wanted to.
You could.
There you go.
Or maybe you could draft a tight end.
Well, could be that.
Well, so that is, yeah, I mean, gosh, I mean, there are some bad mock drafts out there. And I it's so depressing to be talking about mock drafts anyway. But, you know, that's, to me, like such the question of this draft, Corey, is do they actually find themselves enamored with a certain quarterback and decide, you know what, it's time to get the next guy? Because obviously you're doing that at the expense of helping your current quarterback if you go that route.
Help him in the last two drafts in the first round. I mean, oh my gosh. I think they helped the team in the last 2 years in the first round.
This is true.
So no, I mean, look, Floyd Reese always told me the same thing. He said, if there is a franchise quarterback on the board when you pick, you take him. Doesn't matter who you got. Now, you can argue that he passed on that philosophy at points, but that's what he said. He said, it doesn't matter what your situation, because, number one, the asset has so much value as well. But if you think he is, but I mean, you know, on top of whatever frustration people may have with Ryan Tannehill, he's going to be 34 years old. All right. And yes, we've got a few quarterbacks who teetered 40, but we're at the point in his career where generally you don't get better. All right. And so I think if that opportunity were to be there, I think you would have to take it. I think you would have to take it. And, you know, it's nice to have an Alex Smith scenario where the guy doesn't have to play his first year and you can actually still be good. You know, you're not talking about, you know, starting Andy Dalton. Okay. You can actually start somebody, you know, who you believe in. And so I think, you know, is that guy out there? I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about this quarterback's class draft. I've tried to start watching here in the last few days. I need to watch more, but you know, it's hard to get there. Look, nobody saw Patrick Mahomes coming. People could say, oh, I love Patrick Mahomes. Nobody saw Patrick Mahomes coming except for the Chiefs. They were it. They were the visionary. Whoever their scout was, I don't know if that was Pat Sperduto or not, somebody looked at him and said, Andy, this guy is the future. He is a star. And they went all in, and they got rewarded. And so if you find that guy, you absolutely have to take him if you're the Titans. And it doesn't have to be condemning of Tannehill. It can be an endorsement of the guy, but also a realistic situation of where you're at and the fact that he's going to be 34 years old.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
All right, thank you. Did you know the moon is hollow?
Yeah, sure did.
Cheese, right?
No. Oh. Well, just the cheese that we ate. But yeah.
Very nicely done. Corey, appreciate you, my man.
All right, bye-bye.
We'll see you later. Corey Curtis joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Corey had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1045. 1025. FanDuel Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 56, and we can't wait for the Rams to take on the Bengals. And to celebrate, new customers can bet $5 and win $280 on either team to win when you use promo code ROB when registering. To get your Super Bowl odds boost, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, deposit at least $10, and pick your team. I'm going with the Bengals in this matchup, but you take it any way you want to take it, regardless of who you pick. Just do it on FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet Super Bowl 56, and they've got a ton of Super Bowl props, great same-game parlay options as well. So don't miss your chance to turn $5 into $280. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Use promo code ROB to make every moment more of this Super Bowl. Again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. A $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. A max bonus of $280. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Join 102.5 The Game this Wednesday night for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beer Cage. You can have drink specials, enter to win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the Dallas Stars. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beer Cage, located at 114 2nd Avenue South, downtown. The puck drops at 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. By the way, some news in the NFL, in the AFC South. The Indianapolis Colts have hired Gus Bradley as their defensive coordinator, making that official today.
Okay.
So Gus Bradley, the new man in charge of the defense with the Indianapolis Colts. So good for them. They found a defensive coordinator.
Good hire. He's good.
Yeah, he's a good coach. Dennis texting in says, relegation is amazing. Some of the greatest games in the Premier League are end of season, two teams fighting to avoid relegation. It's high drama. Just put the Jags in there, man.
I love it.
Jags and the Jets.
It's obviously, that's the question. I mean, I've never heard any serious discussions about this in any pro leagues, but.
And you probably won't.
But. Yeah, but. If we can dream about Aaron Rodgers to the Titans,
we can dream about relegation.
Like, where would you actually be relegated to? Like Corey said, maybe the USFL. Maybe you have a partnership.
Well, let's see if it can survive a season first.
NFL Europe would have been good. Yes. NFL Europe would have been good. Send them overseas.
Devin from Dover texting in says, the loser has to play in the Rock's XFL. So going back to Dwayne Johnson's XFL.
Yes. That's not bad.
Oh, man.
I'll go to my text line. He hate me. Oh, God, such great stuff. I can't believe that was like 18 years ago.
It really was. I know.
So explain this to me. So apparently I don't get it. So this is Jared texted me during my impassioned defense of Jared.
Okay.
This is Jared's text. The boohoo Tannehill crew would rather make it about me than admit to the fact that Tannehill is the problem. And I'm like, I don't understand this. What is, like, tell me what the boohoo Tannehill crew, specifically, what is the boohoo Tannehill crew? And he says, everyone knows what it means except you. What does it mean?
It's tell like me. The people, like, you know, Tannenbaum came on the show a couple weeks ago for Stillman and was like, listed every reason under the sun why he loves Ryan Tannehill. It's like the people that are apparently around Ryan, the Tannehill Stockholm Syndrome, the people that are around Tannehill who just love the guy.
Okay, so it's just purely people who are just blindly supporting Tannehill.
Correct.
Okay. I mean, I know it rhymes, but it's kind of stupid, isn't it? Boo-hoo, Tannehill crew. Come up with something better, Jared. Like, you know, like down a hill. Hashtag down a hill. Trademark. Thank you.
Ryandy Daltahill.
Ryandy Daltahill, yeah. How about a little Ry Alex Smith-a-hill? Oh, see? That's what we're talking about. Wordplay, Stillman. Get a clue, Stillman. God, I'm going to be mean to him the rest of the show.
I was about to say, did you feel like because of your defense of him in the Rex rant, you now just got to go after him for the rest of the show?
I do. I kind of feel that way. I'm going to lay off for a little bit, but before the show's over, I'll have a good zinger at some point for him, okay?
All right. I got a texture that says, compare Jimmy G's situation to Tannehill. The 49ers were always going to move on from Jimmy G after this season, but no one spoke about him in any way but positive. Even when they could complain and blame him, they didn't. Why? If your organization trash talks you, everyone sees that and no one wants you. The value goes down. Even if the Titans plan to keep Tannehill, no way management or coaches would make that public. It makes him look bad, and that hurts your chances of offloading him. Talk him up. Say he's your guy. Make everyone believe he's a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. But behind the scenes, the conversations are different.
Yeah. Who's this?
No name.
Yeah. So I think you're right in general, but there's a huge difference. One, the 49ers can get away from Jimmy Garoppolo.
Correct.
That is not the Titan situation. Two, we've gone past the point of, oh, yeah, Ryan's our guy. Ryan's good. You know, I mean, compare like what stuff Robinson has said recently to like what Vrabel said the day after the loss or 2 days after the loss on cleanout day.
Signs of accuracy.
Like Vrabel's, you know, endorsement of Tannehill is, I would say, like decidedly lukewarm compared to what Robinson said. Robinson is not anymore doing the, yeah, he's our guy and I'm going to support him, of course, because you're right, that is what everybody would do. No, he's like, please, he's the quarterback, shut up, stop, please stop. I mean, it's a cry for help. Seriously, it's a cry for help. So he's saying to me, guys, nothing is happening. He's the quarterback, and that's that. It's not, yeah, well, we've got to support him publicly. And then, now, look, I would agree with anybody who says, and we've said it, like, it's worth exploring anything. I agree. It's worth exploring trying to get a generational quarterback here, if it's possible. But no one has really laid out how you do that.
Yep.
And I know Jared kind of has, and then when he runs into stuff with the cap, it's like, well, you figure it out. Like, the cap doesn't really exist. Well, it actually does.
Josh from Spring Hill on the text line. I resent Corey Curtis for saying that 34 is a point in a career where someone doesn't get better. I'm 39, and both my boss and my wife are still counting on me to get better. This is coming from Josh in Spring Hill.
I'm with you, Josh. I thought that was a little, you know, 34 sounds incredibly youthful and spry to me. I mean, come on. It's like 2 years after your athletic prime ends.
Yeah, I'm still 5 years away from that. Like, I feel like 5 years from now I can still get better. Yeah.
So you're about to enter your athletic prime. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, man. It's pretty good stuff, man.
That's exciting
stuff. Great stuff, man. Yeah. Looking forward to it. My body feels ready. Feels ready to go.
Yeah, so like 34 is, I agree. I mean, that's not, if you're not bad.
Practically a puppy.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks who are playing at a high level at that age.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit LittleGuysFranchise.com. We'll be joined by Darren McFarland to begin the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get into his thoughts on the Titans and the Nashville Predators as well. Preds back in action coming up later this Wednesday as they take on the Dallas Stars. They'll be at home on Saturday taking on the Winnipeg Jets. So Preds will be back on the ice this week.
Okay, I've got I feel like Willie Donick. I think we need a Willie versus Jared. I think that I'm just a buffer.
Okay.
What could ultimately be a really good debate. But here's Willie's text to me, okay? He says, blindly following Tannehill, which is what I just said, right?
Correct.
That's the boo-hoo Tannehill crew?
Apparently, yeah. Yes.
This is Willie's very well-thought-out text. Haven't people who have thought there was an overreaction to Tannehill's one game been forced to defend what he has done well and explain the practical side of the salary cap and the net gain/loss of what a move would do? It has nothing to do with following or defending. It has everything to do with what the best option is for the team based on the system.
I hear you. Yeah. Now, I take issue with the one game stuff because it's not one game with Ryan Tannehill.
I would agree with you.
This has been going on since last playoffs. So what?
It's two
it's not
straight
one game.
It's two straight playoff games, and it is a season that was. It is hard. It's hard a lot of those weeks to totally. But when you sandwich that season in between the two playoff games, then I think you have to give them a decent share of the blame for the season as well, don't you?
You do. Now, to that point, we're sitting here and everybody's acting like, you know, it's going to be a disaster if Ryan Tannehill's the quarterback next year, and we're still talking about a team that's probably going to win the AFC South, yeah, and that is probably going to be right back in a position again to have a playoff game, a home playoff game, and a chance to do some damage there. And then we'll get back. I mean, look, when they make the playoffs next year and they're hosting Wild Card Weekend, or, I mean, heck, maybe they get the one seed again. Whenever it is that they're playing their playoff game next year, this is all we're going to be talking about. Can Ryan Tannehill do it? That's all we're going to be talking about.
They get the one seed again, I am going to shine the upholstery in your car, okay?
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm picking them to get the one seed again. I'm just saying
I want that on the record. Michelle, it's on the record.
Shine the upholstery. Thank you.
I got it. I will remember
this. Internal cleaning of his car.
That's fine.
Including the windows from the inside.
That's fine.
If they get the one seed next year.
Okay.
But yes, no, to your point, yeah, they're going to be good next year. He's going to be good. You could do way worse than him. It is not an absolute disaster to have Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback. And yes, the conversation starts to feel that way. But the conversation has been, can you figure out a way to get a generational guy who's clearly better than him? And there aren't a ton. There are two who have been feasible, who have been discussed ad nauseum the last 2 weeks. Can you figure a way? And I agree with Willie that when you get into the nitty-gritty of it, like, you are going to pay for it. And if it was just paying for it down the road, then I think that's one thing.
Sure.
And it's easier to sell. I don't think that's it either. I think you're paying for it with your current roster too. And then it's sort of, well, I mean, look, I'm still saying if you can figure it out and not be completely a shell of what your team was, then it's worth exploring to me. But we always knew that it was very remote as
a
possibility.
Yeah, but to that point of, you know, destroying the roster, I mean, I hear you. It's gonna take a lot. I guess my question would be...
It would have taken a lot.
Well, it would have
taken
a lot.
Now you're talking about like it's going to happen again.
It would have taken a lot. My question would be, okay, how much does an Aaron Rodgers make up for that? How much does a Russell Wilson make up for any of your... I mean, look, that obviously depends on who goes out the other way. And if, you know, you totally dismantle your defense, that's going to be a problem. I think we all recognize that. But, you know, acting like tearing up a little bit of the roster now and Aaron Rodgers doesn't come in and fix some of that, I don't buy that either. Like, Aaron Rodgers makes up for a lot. Trust me. I watch a lot of Aaron Rodgers. He makes up for a lot.
No, I don't. I don't disagree. This is a choice to – I think there's a lot of good feeling. You got to remember this, too. Take Tannehill out of it. This is also a choice to, I think, keep it going what they have. I think they really like what they have going with this team.
Sure.
The collective of this team. What has happened on defense?
Dare I say the culture? Do they like that?
You could say that. But the culture – you can retain the culture and still tear up the roster a fair amount, right? I mean, John Robinson said it himself in that Q&A with Ben Arthur. You know, the culture has been a pretty consistent thing now for he's going into his seventh year, and the roster has how many guys left from that? Lawan? And now, granted,
Kern.
You probably think he's the key to the whole culture, but, you know, I would not agree with that.
Started off pretty well. It's where the culture changed.
Yeah, I guess so. But so actually, I mean, in all seriousness, I think it's more than culture. I think it's like this specific group of guys they feel like can be a special group.
Yeah.
So let's keep it together. But then you're also now bring Tannehill back into it. Okay. And so you think that he can do that. Some of it is a leap of faith, but based on necessity, I think, because it's just like, I mean, you can't tell me John Robinson hasn't in his mind or on a scribble pad gone through the various possibilities.
I'm sure he has. Well,
in the end, it's a leap of faith. It's a leap of faith that Ryan Tannehill is going to respond to this. He's going to have a rocky three off season, and when it comes down to it again, is at least not going to give the other team the game.
I mean, what his comments so far on Tannehill tell me is that John Robinson believes that the other factors this year of the injuries and not have enough time on the field together, all these different things we talked about, it tells me that he believes that was the cause of Tannehill's struggles way more than he does Ryan Tannehill. That's what it tells me. And that he believes if things go better next year with Ty Downing's second year and an injury standpoint and all that stuff, that he's going to look a whole lot closer to the 19-20 version of Tannehill than he does this year. Now, look, I'm not saying I agree with that. And if you're a Titans fan, I know some people hear that and they say, well, that's awfully wishful thinking. I hear you. That just, when I read John Robinson's comments, that's what that says to me, is that he believes it was a whole lot of other stuff in addition to Tannehill.
Yeah. Well, and look, you can take this in tandem with what just happened. The addition of Tim Kelly. You can go back to those picks. Again, certainly, I mean, I think the second pick has been pretty well explored out there. You know, the second pick, the telegraphing of that play, and that play was completely pegged by the Bengals, right? Apart from even their conversation on the sideline, that was on like NFL films, but like that was clearly like just a telegraphed pass that. Now, granted, Tannehill could also not throw the pass or could, you know, whatever. But still, that one, I think you can put that on the OC. I don't know. I know that there's always way more information on every play, always. I look at those, the first and third pick, and it's just, I don't see how you could blame anyone but 17 for those, and those are just killers.
Yeah. Josh in Spring Hill texting in says, why isn't J-Rob getting more heat over creating the Tannehill contract situation? He needs to say Ryan's great or say, hey, I've really screwed this up. Maybe Amy Adams Strunk should leak out that it's a direct reflection of J-Rob's job performance and that he either needs to find an upgrade or see the exit. This is coming from Josh in Spring Hill.
Oh, we're heading to Amy Adams Strunk leaking stuff and yep. Trying to fire J-Rob. Well, look, I think, first of all, the one point I'll take out of that I agree with is, yes, John Robinson did create this situation by signing Ryan Tannehill. He and Vrabel deciding that Tannehill was the way to go. And also, again, the Julio Jones move basically locked you in for another year. Had that move not happened, then it would be you could get out of the Tannehill contract right now.
Yep.
Okay. But, I mean, I have to raise my hand. I can't sit here and trash something at the time. I completely wrote full support that Tannehill should get a deal. That cool. Tannehill and Henry should, and that thing should go together after getting to the AFC title game. I thought it was a pretty easy decision.
Well, think about the conversations we were having to start the year. Like the information at the time, if you were John Robinson, is, all right, this guy came over, he took over as quarterback in 2019. We got the AFC title game. 2020, what'd he throw? 33 touchdowns, 7 picks? He was awesome. He was a really good player in 2020. I mean, that's the information you have to go on at that point.
Well, no, you didn't have that. Remember, no.
Well, I'm talking Julio trade.
Like, oh, the Julio trade.
When the Julio trade that you're kicking it down the road with Tannehill,
right.
That's the information you have to go
point. You do have the playoff game.
Yeah.
So you do have the playoff game. And, I mean, look, I think everyone was pretty much in agreement that Tannehill wasn't good enough in that game. But that was one playoff game. There was a lot that, you know, went where the defense gives up one big play to Lamar Jackson. They did a great job against Derrick Henry. It wasn't enough, right? I mean, it was one bad thing, and almost everything else had been really good.
Right.
Now you get to this. It's different. It's not – and well, that's – of all the things John Robinson has said, like the, you know, the micro-evaluation word to me, it's like, yeah, this is not – everything's great with Tannehill, and oh, whoa, bad game. Get him out of here. No, it's not that.
No, I mean, this year was heavily up and down. I don't think there's any question about that. I'm just saying, like, at the time where you're making the decision to bring in Julio and you know that you're kicking the can down the road with Tannehill, I mean, we were sitting here on this show last year having discussions about top 10 quarterbacks.
Yeah.
If Tannehill was in there and, like, where he fit in there. Like, we're not going to be doing that next offseason.
We were playing Mike Greenberg, calling him the most underrated athlete in American sports.
Right. Know? The conversation has shifted pretty dramatically on him at this point. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Darren McFarland coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour as well. All that ahead, this is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe's laughing. Really good.
I just texted Jared. I said, is Willie part of the Tannehill Boohoo crew? He said, oh, absolutely. I'm trying to get another feud going with some other members of this station, okay? No one ever feuds with the midday show. Should we start something with Darren when he comes on at the top of the hour?
Yeah, might as well.
All right.
I will say Willie did have the nice Vanderbilt Letterman jacket on. Do you guys see that on Twitter?
Willie's got some pretty major style. It's good stuff.
Oh, no doubt. And Willie's also like, Willie's too nice, right? I mean, Willie's just a nice, you can't get mad at Willie, right?
I still want a Joe versus Willie.
Unless maybe you're Jared. By the way, we have an argument with Willie. Willie and I have an argument against you.
Yeah.
Willie in the parking lot coming in. Yeah, Willie in the parking lot coming into the show last week was like, come on, man. What's wrong with naming lines? I agree with him. You don't have to name
because
every 98% line.
98% of them are stupid. That's why I have a problem.
I don't.
98%.
There's some cool line names.
Yeah, there's like four.
But how many line
thousands
names?
Thousands that are named.
There's not that many.
People
there's
name
not that many.
Every team in every market.
Well, I don't. If some person line. Tweets a line, name, that doesn't count. I mean, it's got to be a concerted effort and agreed. I agree with you. Jofa sucked.
It's not good.
Not the line, but the name. But I also agree with Willie that I think we need to start thinking about something with DeShane Forsberg and Granlund.
Well, you come up with a name, I'll let you know whether or not I like it.
Willie and I will. And Willie, when you're done being part of the Tannehill Boohoo crew and yelling at Jared, we'll work on that
let's
together.
Let's focus on that together and get something done here.
There we go.
Coy in Clarksville texting in says, when do the excuses stop? It's obvious that if you need Tannehill to win the game, he can't. Is that to us?
I don't know. Are you saying we're part of the Tannehill Boohoo crew?
If so, it's a pretty harsh crew to be in. I did have my grandmother. I did have my grandmother text in earlier in the show. Says Tannehill's going to be great next season. Lay off.
Nice.
That's what she
said. Yes, have some of that.
Sorry, Martha.
Well, maybe you should give her Jared's number.
Maybe so. Martha or is not. A part of the Tannehill Boohoo crew. There you go.
Martha.
What
Martha,
a name,
Martha.
By the way. Not Martha. Tannehill.
Martha's a great name. Martha's a very nice name.
Yeah.
Yeah. The TBHC. We keep talking about the TBHC. Going to need some THC. Michelle. Come on. You have to get that one.
In my head, I was like, TBH. No, yes. Yes, I do. Just struck me a minute.
Strikes again.
We're down on the coffee. I need a little extra.
See. Maybe it's two cups. Maybe that's the sweet spot.
Chris in Nashville texting in says, I've been on the complain train as well, but just remember one word that should make us grateful to have Tannehill. Mariota is coming from Chris in Nashville. I promise it's not a Robbie Stanley burner account.
Mettenberger, Locker, Young. Give me some more.
Hey, Vince was pretty good for
he was.
A while.
He was rookie of the year.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, again, we've gotten to the point where keeping Tannehill as your quarterback and trying to build on a number one seed
just
and
doomed second, from the start.
It's like crime of the century, you know?
Yeah.
It's like absolutely, completely irresponsible to keep your quarterback for your number one seed team that has just won the division 2 years in a row. I'm just saying, does that qualify me for the Boohoo crew? Jared, let me know.
John in Thompson Station texting in says, Tannehill was sacked 47 times in 2021 versus 24 times in 2020.
Yep.
Who gets most of the blame? Ryan, the offensive line, or the new OC? Not much talk about improving the pass protection for next season. Oh, there's talk about it.
No, and you're right. And, again, I mean, look, go back through this whole season. I mean, honestly, if we're gonna sign a Boohoo crew all year, I was probably one of the captains of the crew for a lot of the year because I was basing it on, again, what we had seen from Tannehill for two seasons. And I agree. The protection is a huge deal, and that's – you know, let's put another quarterback in with that protection next year. You know,
well,
tell me what Aaron Rodgers' protection has been like in the last few years in Green Bay.
It's been pretty good, but I guess my counter argument is: guess who's in the Super Bowl right now in the AFC? What's his protection look like?
Well, that's true.
So, I mean, I hear you, but it's not everything.
Well, no, and no one's going to confuse Ryan Tannehill with Joe Burrow, especially as time goes on and we keep seeing Joe Burrow year after year and Ja'Marr Chase year after year, et cetera, et cetera. They have an incredible skill
group. Now, if
you
ask Quentin Spain, the offensive line is...
Yeah.
Since the offensive line is Indestructible.
I need some Quentin Spain tweeting at Aaron Donald before the game. That's what we need here. But no, listen, it is a real thing. That was a big drop-off this year, which, again, that's one of Jared's Toontz's takes of the year, is like no one protects a quarterback well. Like, it went off the shelf, and the OC change was not good, and the injuries were bad. So it isn't all Tannehill. All that said, he didn't respond the way they needed him to respond.
Well, and the problem is the offensive line is now getting older. And in maybe a spot where it's not, you're going to have to make a decision. Like Roger Saffold and Taylor Lewan, we've talked about it. I mean, I guess there's a way both of them could be back next year. I'd be surprised if both of them are back next year. So then the question becomes, all right, well, how much better is the offensive line going to get? Is it going to get any better next year? That's a pretty gigantic question this offseason.
Well, and then there's just the shell game of – I agree, like Zach Cunningham, if you can keep him. I mean, like, I agree with Corey. I agree with everybody who wants to keep Zach Cunningham. It makes sense for the defense. It would be great. I think that's a great tandem. And then you have Monty Rice as a third guy. Perfect. But I don't see how you can really consider moving on from Taylor Lewan right now. If you want the pass protection to be better, how is that possible if you don't just go out there and pick up your mid-level left tackle and have the same thing? I'm sorry. So then, can you make all that work?
It's a lot.
But
you drafting a left tackle?
Offensive lineman as a first pick is not – it can't be
it's not
disregarded,
ruled out.
Dismissed.
No. I can't wait for our show that day if that happens. That'll be something.
Mm-hmm.
Shane from Ashland City texting in. I wish I had the time to go back and listen to old shows and clip all the times Jared said – I love Tannehill, or Tannehill should be in the Pro Bowl over Murray, because Murray sucks. You just can't take him seriously. This is coming from Shane on the text line.
So you're going to make me defend Jared again. I was done with that today, Shane. No, listen.
Thank you, Shane.
You can go back and find stuff that we've said on this show that sounds ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
probably every day.
Yeah, but I mean, like, even more ridiculous, like, half a year later, right? So, yeah. Now, Jared, what he said this year a lot was like, I took the cheese, like I believed. And I'm like, dude, it wasn't 2 years of smoke and mirrors, you know? I mean, he was actually making those plays. So that's what the Titans have to be. That's how they must be looking at it. Like, how do you get him back to that? Because when we had all these conditions where they were, he was excelling.
Yeah.
It wasn't fake, just that we haven't seen it in a while.
Well,
we haven't seen enough of it.
Well, the problem with that is also – I think it's pretty clear at this point. You had not a good OC. You had an exceptional offensive coordinator with Arthur Smith.
Yep.
And look, I'm not as much on the Todd Downing is a total failure as a lot of people are. Now, he's got to be better or you got to go in a different direction. I don't think there's any question about that. But I think it's safe to say he is not an exceptional offensive coordinator. That doesn't mean the offense can't be good next year and you can't get a lot of things figured out just by staying healthy. I mean, there's a lot of adjustments you have to make. But he's not exceptional. Arthur Smith was exceptional, which is why he's a head coach.
Well, and I think that this move, although, again, internally they view this, they're telling people they view this as, you know, the Jim Schwartz of the offense. You know, the Jim Schwartz, they really like how it worked out, so they're trying this. But that title says it's a bit more to me, and I think it's a lot more. I never really bought the whole, oh, so Jim Schwartz can just slide in for Shane Bowen. But I think with Tim Kelly, I think that's a little bit more like that could be an alternative at some point.
You calling it now?
No, I'm just saying.
Week four?
No, I'm not.
Over saying. Under 3.5.
Yeah, there would never be, to me, like there was zero chance Vrabel would ever, to me, like fire a coach in season. Unless it was like
really bad,
like the coach tried to take a swing at him, and even then
he'd probably promote him,
probably just beat him up, yeah. And like throw him in the trash can and give him a pay bump. You know,
don't do that again.
So it would never be something like that, but like down the road after the year kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's possible with Schwartz. It's like, hey, it's good to have this guy in here and have a experienced pair of eyes.
Which also, I guess, good thing he's not going to be the DC in Indianapolis now too.
That's true. So there was another team that was interviewing Jim Schwartz. What team was that?
You know what?
I believe the New York Giants, but let me find that out. So I you know, clearly he's ready after this year to clearly he's ready after this year to actually get back into it full time. So, but what would be interesting too is if he gets in this, if he gets a job, would the Titans try to have that role again with someone else?
It's interesting.
But you can't just have anybody do that, right?
No, I mean, I wouldn't think so. When we come back, we'll be joined by Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans' offseason direction and the Preds back in action this week. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.